You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Red Mole was a countercultural theatre company known for their artistic and political experimental styles. Hailing from the University of Auckland in the 1970s, the group performed regularly in Aotearoa before travelling to New York. Red Mole's manifesto was to keep the romance alive, to escape programmed behaviour by remaining erratic, to preserve the unclear and inexplicit idioms of everyday speech, to abhor the domination of any person over any other, and to expend energy. The documentary showed at the New Zealand International Film Festival last year and is now showing at cinemas across the country. I had a chat with the director, Professor Annie Goldson, about the making of the film and her own experiences with Red Mole. Red Mole debuted at the ASB Waterfront Theatre in Tāmaki Makaurau last year. It was then showed at the New Zealand International Film Festival. How did you find that experience getting the documentary out in the world?
Oh, you know, it was great. It was hectic finishing it, as is always the way. But yes, screening at the ASB Waterfront was part of the film festival. I mean, the nice thing about festivals is they have inbuilt audiences who are kind of checking out what films they're going to go to. So, you know, and the demographic kind of suits the film. So those screenings were great, actually. But it's now in a kind of commercial as it gets kind of release, meaning it's in cinemas up and down the country, which has been fun, mostly.
What was your experience with Red Mole?
Yeah, I do have a connection, or I did have a connection. I went out with a dancer, a guy called Ian, who was kind of on the slight periphery of Red Mole. So I went off to New York with Red Mole in 1981, when things were pretty rough and raw in the Big Apple in those days, as the film relates. For those listening, it's quite interesting. I feel I was a good person to make the documentary because I was close enough to Red Mole. You know, our paths diverged in time, but I knew them pretty well. And then, you know, I like social history, and in a way the film works as a social history of New Zealand. Looking at that counterculture era, I think documentary does social history well, and I think generally we're not that good at doing history, our own history here, so it seemed to be like a chance to look at that, you know, influential period too in our cultural and social history.
Do you think that connection and your experience in New York had an effect on the way you went about creating the documentary?
Well, yes, I think so. I mean, Red Mole was a theatre group, but it was also a collection of quite strong-willed, interesting characters. And I think, you know, the film is probably more about the personalities and their interactions and their kind of creative urge than it is a straight history of theatre. So I was pretty interested in the characters just because Aotearoa New Zealand threw them up at that time, and they were quite extraordinary individuals. And of course, some of them are still around and still working, not all of them, as the film describes. But yeah, having that knowledge, I think, and certainly a knowledge of living in New York, I mean, about over half the film is set in New York. And, you know, New York was pretty wild in those days. There was the AIDS epidemic, the crack epidemic, there were wars in Central America. The city itself was broke. None of us could work legally, so we were all working in any way we could make money. So, yeah, I know that I knew that time well, so it was easy for me to depict what those experiences were like. I also saw how hard Red Mole worked, you know, with very little resourcing. They were extremely creative and energetic in ways that, you know, lots of New Yorkers weren't. And they did quite well in New York. The New Yorkers were quite amazed by them. And they were pretty successful for a while until the city kind of beat them down, really. My knowledge, I think, both of the troupe and of the environments they worked in certainly helped in the making of the film.
Did you find it difficult at all striking the right tone for the film in order to do the story of Red Mole justice, or did you sort of always know how you wanted to tell the story?
Look, you never really know, and it's probably not for me to say the tone is right. I mean, I'm pretty happy with the film, and I'm happy with the reception I'm getting, especially from younger people, actually, like maybe your audiences, because I found younger people are quite attracted to what I call the materiality of Red Mole. You know, its physical characteristics, the fact it had buttons and badges and costumes and masks and fire eating and, you know, handmade posters. It was very pre-internet. And they had a sort of op shop, cool, that's sort of fashionable again today. And some of the political issues that they were trying to address, you know, anti-nuclear stuff, anti-war, environmental, you know, those are still obviously big issues today. So I'm thinking younger people, I'm pleased that younger people seem to be responding well to the film. And I hope to actually set up a series of screenings for students in time. Once I recover from this theatrical burst, I'll get onto that, I think, and so we can get cheaper tickets for students and things like that. Yes, but I don't know if it's for me to say whether I got the tone right, but I did work quite closely with surviving members of Red Mall, and they were pretty happy with it, so that's a good thing.
Why do you think it's important for people to know about Red Mall, particularly a younger generation coming through?
Well, I think it's good to know we've got this history because, you know, had I not made the film, I mean, some people still remember Red Mole, some people sort of remember them, but, you know, that generation is leaving us. So I do feel these legacies are quite important. And there was something extraordinarily Kiwi about them too, the kind of mixture of sort of DIY practicality, but also quite in a sort of eclectic knowledge of poetry and international modernism. And it was really the days before globalization. Libraries were important, getting books out of the library. It was pre-internet. So, you know, there was just a way of working that was quite different. But I do feel their influences, although not discussed a lot, are kind of felt right through the histories of contemporary theatre as well. But as I say, it's not just theatre, it's also that moment of the counterculture, the 60s, late 60s and 70s, that I think was quite important in New Zealand's history. And I do try and talk about, you know, the period as well as the group. I think, you know, at one level, people find the film enjoyable and engaging because it's quite entertaining, it's quite emotional. I think that countercultural moment, it took a dark turn. It stopped being about sort of hippies living in the countryside. The drugs got harder. Neoliberalism made the environment tougher. So, you know, the journey that Red Mole goes on also, that I think a lot of other people experience as well. And, you know, all of that has shaped contemporary culture as well.
What was involved in putting it all together? Did you have people looking through archives for that, all of that footage and those images?
Yes, I mean, it's all an interesting story. I was shooting a different film. I was on sabbatical from university where I teach. I was in New York filming a different film, so I've always had the back of my mind I would like to do something on Red Mole. So I interviewed a few people. I went to Mexico and interviewed Ruby and someone called Nancy in New York, and I filmed at some of the old haunts that I know that Red Mole used to hang out at. So I finished the other film, and then I just started working on Red Mole again. And an amazing thing about Red Mole, even though they had very little money and they moved all the time, they were incredible archivists. So they had an enormous collection of photographs and scripts and posters and audio cassettes and every possible type of video you can imagine. And luckily for me, Michelle Leggett, who is a professor in the English department and a poet, she was close to Alan and Sally, the founders of Red Mole, and she organised for this huge archive to be held at the University of Auckland Special Collections. So I had access, but it was still an enormous job. But actually a handful of students helped me that I could fund through research grants and summer scholarships and things, and they did an amazing job. So shout out to Harry Ashley and to Heather Wallace, both of whom have just graduated. They did an amazing job at sorting through the archives. I mean, we must have digitized about 8,000 photographs that we then sort of whittled down in the edit into something coherent. I mean, I did a lot of the film, producing, directing and editing as sort of key roles. I'm not a composer, so I got the wonderful young Ewan Collins on board, and they did a really great track, restored some of the old, you know, third generation audio cassettes and remixed the drongos and this and that, and composed some amazing stuff. So yes, it was really the university community, in fact, that helped make the film, which was great. It was hard work, but it was fun.
Yeah, and again, there's, you know, that sort of, it's nice to see that the youth are getting involved, you know, as in keeping with that sort of Red Mole ethos of...
Yeah, I mean, there's great... I mean, Red Mole actually emerged from the University of Auckland. It was from the English department, so Alan was a poet, the kind of main writer. He was a sort of revolutionary poet who took on the more establishment poets in the English department. So that's really how Red Mole started. You know, so you saw the brand new quad. It was all like lots of quite wild footage from the University of Auckland, which was fun to play with too.
Yeah, I did see that. That was really interesting, seeing that that quad footage and even seeing the stairs up towards Crackham and BFM.
Yeah,
and there's a line somewhere about Red Mole almost being a fault line running across youth. I think that their legacy perhaps really is, well, the impact is, you know, could not be understated with that sort of pushback against, you know, the 60s conservatism in Aotearoa. It was almost akin to, you know, what we saw in the United States with the LSD revolution in the 70s and such.
Yeah, no, very much so. I mean, it was our counterculture, if you like, and things were to shift and change. I mean, feminism would emerge, you know, Māori rights would emerge, sort of environmental stuff. You know, it was a time of great ferment. And it was, as you said, a very socially conservative country at the time. I mean, we had things that were specific to New Zealand, like Indigenous issues, but also the Springbok tour. That was not till 81. But that was all kind of brewing. And it was definitely a fault line, you know, between the sort of conservative, short back and sides, social culture and these sort of long-haired hippie youth.
Mm.
So, yes, it was heady times, for sure.
That was Professor Annie Goldson speaking to me about the making of her documentary film, Red Mole, A Romance. Next week, I'll be speaking with Ewan Collins, the composer of the film's soundtrack.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.